So tonight, my message is called When God Says Jump. It's about how to handle seasons of accelerated transition. When God says jump. Some of you know that I do the word of the year thing. I ask the Lord what the word is that I am focused on, what it looks like, what it is. I tend to have a number of themes that the Lord will bring up, and then I will it's a word for me to hold throughout the year. Of sometimes it's something for me to focus on. Sometimes it's something for me to be paying attention to. Sometimes it's something for me to do. In 2023, my word of the year was jump. And I told the Lord that I would go through any door that he opened for me. I don't know what made me pray that prayer. But I made a promise and I set an intention before the Lord that I would go through any door that he opened for me. And kind of parallel to the word jump, my cousin and I, we share a lot of things together. We talk a lot and we encourage each other. And it took a little while for me to settle on this word. A lot of times I have it at my birthday, which is at the end of October, and it's my word of the year for the next year. And so I kind of already know going into the next year what my word is, and I didn't know going into 2023 what my word was. And so her and I were talking, and she was telling me, I was kind of circling around this concept, this idea of moving forward without hesitation, this kind of, I didn't have it in that nice of a phrase when we were talking, and I was just kind of word vomiting all over her. And she was talking about that her word, she decided that she had given herself permission to have a phrase instead of just a word. And so the phrase that she had focused on was double action, right? And it's this idea of a gun that cocks and fires in one moment, right? We love you, buddy. Grace, grace to you. Yeah, you're with your mommy. I love you, Ethan. Love you, Armani. Thank you for waving. I love you, Myra. And so her idea was this concept of double action, that she wasn't going to hesitate when she knew what the next thing to do was that she was just going to move forward. She was going to cock and fire all at the same time. She was just going to go. And it wasn't an idea of recklessness. It was this knowledge that too many times we had second-guessed ourselves. Too many times we knew what we were supposed to do and we were like, really, am I supposed to? And God's like, yes. And we're like Gideon. Okay, put the dew on the fleece and not on the ground. And so he does. And then we're like, okay, put the dew on the ground and not on the fleece. And he's like, okay, I'll do that again too. And we're like fleece after fleece after fleece before the Lord. And he's like, do it. Do the thing. Do the thing. And we're like, am I supposed to do the thing, Lord? And he's like, do the thing. Right? I don't know if any of you get in those loops too. Where if you were questioned, you know it was God. I'm not talking about when you're not sure it's God. I'm talking about when you know it's God. And yet there's still something that's holding you back. And so my expression of that word, so I held on to her double action for a couple weeks. And then I decided that mine was jump. Jump. And there's a lot of things that happened last year based on that word. And one of the biggest things that happened, 2022, lots of you guys know, was a very rough year for the Sykes family. Okay. So 2023 comes, Ron takes a sabbatical for a month. Okay. I get to the end of that year, the school year, it's June, and I am exhausted. And so that same cousin encourages me to take a night away. Right? She pays for me to get a hotel room. And so Ron takes all the household stuff, takes everything to do with the kids, and I take myself away for 24 hours. And so I'm waiting for the hotel room to be ready, and so I take myself to lunch. And while I'm waiting for the food to be ready, I'm scrolling on Facebook, and a friend shares a post that is from Bruce Anderson, who's the former owner of Alpha and Omega. And it shares that he and Cindy are looking to retire after a quarter of a century owning the store, and they are looking for someone to buy the store. And I go, ooh, that's interesting. And I kind of feel the Lord go, like, I don't hear anything, but what I kind of sense in my brain is that creak of a door opening. You know, like, have you ever heard, like, right? And I don't feel any kind of challenge from the Lord. I don't feel him say, oh, you should do it. You should do anything. I just kind of hear this little of a door opening. And so I send an email. Sitting there at the table by myself, I send an email to him. I'm like, because this person who shared it, you know, I'm sure lots of people shared it, but this person specifically shares a lot of things. And some of them aren't always like legit things, right? So I'm like, what is this, right? Excuse me. And so I email Bruce and I was like, hi, Bruce. I saw a post a friend shared on Facebook that said you were looking to retire. Is that true? Kind of what are the details? What are you looking to sell it at? What is, I ask two or three questions, expecting him to send me back just some answers. You may or may not know that I've always been kind of mildly interested in buying a bookstore. Or not buying, owning a bookstore, having a bookstore, starting a bookstore. And Ron and I had kind of gone, you know, maybe in a few years we'll take a look at what it would take to start one and make a plan. Something that's true about how Ron and I generally do life is we decide we're going to do a thing, and then we look at our calendar and we kind of go, when could that thing happen? And then we put it on the calendar, and when that day rolls around, we go, guess we're doing the thing, okay? This is how we moved to Kansas City. One day we were like, okay, there was a lot of things why we were going back, and we were like, okay, in 3 years, we're going to move. Put it on the calendar. 3 years rolled around. I was pregnant with Nikaya, so we delayed it 10 months, and we were irritated about delaying it. Not that I was pregnant, but that it wasn't happening in the timing that we thought it would happen. Okay? And then we moved. This is how we potty trained all of our children. We looked at when it would be convenient for us. We marked a date on the calendar, and then when the day popped up, we went, time to potty train. This is how we do our life. So this was not unusual for us to kind of go, okay, in 3 years, we'll explore what it would take to start it. And if we feel like we're supposed to, then we'll put it on the calendar and move forward. So I thought I was just getting information earlier than expected. Within 15 minutes, so before I'm done eating, I get an email back from Bruce saying, let's sit down. I'm free on Friday. It's a Wednesday. I'm going to be away through Thursday. He's proposing Friday. And I go, once again, hear that creak of a door open. And I go, sure. If you know me, you know that I don't actually like to meet in person with people I don't know. I am very much an introvert, and I use my energy for the people I know and love and already have relationship with. And so meeting someone who I don't know, that there's not really a reason for, is and on that kind of timeline, not with like a week to prepare, is very uncharacteristic for me. But I say, yeah, sure, I'm free at this time. I'll meet you at the store. I continue with my 24-hour retreat. I come home. I tell Ron, I'm meeting with the owner of Alpha and Omega tomorrow. He's looking to retire, and he's looking to sell the store. And Ron goes, don't you think we should have talked about that? And I say, I'm not buying the store. I'm just meeting with him because we've always talked about this. So I figure here's a great moment to get some information. So I sit down with him. Bruce is very well prepared. He gives me a whole packet of information. He talks about stuff. I'm very transparent that this was not on my radar, that I had just seen an email. I had seen a message and decided to email him. Okay? Ron and I go away. We look at the things. Ron's like, ooh, this is interesting. But we don't do anything with it. We're traveling. We do whatever we're going to do. 3 weeks later, we come back and we go, hey, so what are you thinking about that opportunity? And he goes, well, I'm not hearing a no. And he said, well, I'm not hearing a no. We said, are we hearing a yes? Not hearing a no. So I sat down with Bruce again. And then Ron sat down with Bruce. And we said, hey, we're super interested in this. And he's like, I don't have any other sound offers. And then they invited me to go to Kentucky with them for a trade show. They said, this is the last one that we're doing. If you're serious about this, do you want to come to Kentucky and see how it goes? And Ron and I still weren't yeses, and we still weren't noes. And we hadn't decided. The trade show started on Sunday, and the buying and selling part started on Monday. And Saturday night at church, we still weren't sure what we were going to do. And then Saturday night after church, we said, well, it's not a no. And so I said, I'll meet you in Kentucky. And Sunday morning, I got up, a friend traveled with me, and I drove to Kentucky. And I did a trade show for 2 days. And then I came home, and we were like, it's still not a no. And every step of the way, everybody who was walking with me heard me say this over and over again, which was, if God shuts the door right now, I wouldn't be mad. I have learned so much. This has been such an amazing experience. God is teaching me so much. I am learning so much. And he never shut doors. He kept opening door after door after door until it gets to mid-fall. And Ron goes, are we doing this? And I went, I think we are. And so we were hoping to close at the end of that year, and there was a delay. And then we were hoping to close in February of this year, and there was a delay. And then we were thinking maybe April, and there was a delay. And we kept saying, unless God shuts the door, we're not pulling back first. We're not going to stop. If the door shuts, that's fine. But we're not going to stop. And so we stayed in this kind of like pending pattern, pending pattern, pending pattern. And then it's like the third week in May, Ron and Zoe are getting ready to go to Honduras. And all of a sudden, all the doors start opening. Like the pending pattern, the kind of like circling around that was happening. Funding came through. Things just started going, right? So Ron's in Honduras and I'm coordinating with our lawyer. And so we decide that June 17th is the day. Ron comes back and it is a dead sprint to get it done. Okay, because we have to get payroll set up because there's 8 employees, right? And so I've got to get the payroll set up and the HR taken care of, and we've got to get the insurance for the spot because we didn't know if it was happening. So a lot of stuff wasn't done yet because you don't do it till you have a date. And now suddenly we had a date, and normally you would have 4 to 6 weeks, but we don't have 6 weeks. We have like 2. And so we are sprinting through, and we get all this done. And then June 17th, I sit down with Bruce at the store, and he hands me the keys. So the interesting thing was that as time went on, it was getting closer to when it had been a year, right? And so I was like, maybe, oh, God is so cool with his timing. Maybe we're going to close on the exact day that I sent him the message a year ago. And then that's not what happens. I close 4 days before. And I'm like, so I'm driving to the store to meet Bruce, really expecting there to be a delay because it seems like it would be so perfect for it to match. Like, I'm like, man, I'm not even going to be mad if there's a delay because wouldn't that be a wild story? Exactly a year? So he gives me the keys. It's June 17th. We're closed for 2 days to get some stuff sorted. We reopen the doors on June 19th. Okay. And like a couple days later is the year. June 21st is the year. And when the store opens, I'm actually like not disappointed, but a little like, huh. Like, that would have been a cool story. Right? Like, not that I wanted it to be a couple more days, God, but that kind of would have been cool if it had been a couple more days. And I realize I look back to a year before that moment. And I realize that a year before, where I was now wasn't even on the radar. I wasn't even thinking about it. It was not a thought in my mind. It wasn't something I was praying for. It wasn't something I was hoping for. It was just, I wasn't thinking about this opportunity. And the Lord showed me that no matter how many delays I thought there had been, that it still had been a suddenly. Right? A year ago, this wasn't even on my radar. And now, here I was, with our under the new ownership sign in the front with a store. Sometimes God says, jump. And you have to decide in that moment when you hear that from the Lord, whether you hear the audible, go now, or whether what you feel in the spirit is a subtle creak of a door opening. You have to decide what you're going to do. I have an acronym. This is an unusual circumstance for me. I normally don't have these. I'm very pleased and excited about it. So you have to be excited about it too. Please take notes because I'm very proud of my acronym. Okay. All right. Jump. J-U-M-P. All right. So the first J. Jesus. In fact, it's written in my notes as Jesus, 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 and more Jesus. Was that a song? Whose song was that, Ron? Was it Todd's? Okay, so we have a friend. His name is Todd Elliott. He used to rap and be a hip-hop artist. He was Todd Banks, right? And he would be like, Jesus, 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 and more Jesus. Jesus, 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 and more Jesus, right? Okay, so Jesus, 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 and more Jesus. The first and most foundational thing is that God never contradicts himself. If you are feeling like the Lord is telling you to go, and it is something sinful, and it is something wrong, or it is something contrary to who he is and what he does, it is not God. So many times people come and they sit with us and they're like, I'm feeling the leading of the Lord too. And then they say something outrageous. And they're out of the two of us, my voice is generally more gentle than Ron's voice. And my words are generally harsher or blunter than Ron's words. Like he gets blunt and he's gentle. And I am gentle and I get loud, right? But generally, someone once characterized me as gangster Barney. That the tone of voice is very, I love you, you love me, we're a happy family. But the actual words coming out of my mouth are not that. Okay? And so there have been times when someone has said something outrageous that they feel like the Lord is leading them to. And what comes out of my mouth is, have you lost your mind? That is demonic and from the pit of hell. That is not the Lord. God doesn't contradict himself. Sometimes we don't know. Sometimes we're like, is this God? Is this not God? But there are things that God will never tell you to do. He doesn't tell you to lie. He doesn't tell you to cheat. He doesn't tell you to steal, right? Like, those are just low hanging fruit, right? I was up here, I don't know, a couple months ago now, and I was talking about there's always a righteous path forward, right? So when you feel like, oh, God's telling me to do this, and it is sinful, it is wrong, that's not God. That's not God. And no, like, elder, that's right, it's not God. And no elder, no, like, actual spiritual oversight is going to coddle you and baby you and try to talk you around. We're just going to be like, no. No. Because here's the thing. I love God too much to let you defile him by saying that some God told you to do something that is demonic. And I will never let that stand. There are plenty of things that I disagree with that people sit down and go, God told me to do whatever, but it's not sinful. And as soon as you say God said, we don't push back against you. If you're going to go, the Lord told me, we're just all like, okay. Even if we disagree, yeah, we'll pray for you. That's what Tino's saying. We'll pray for you. But you can say God said, and it's sinful, and none of us will let that slide. I was in the store, I don't know, it was like maybe a month ago now, 3 weeks ago. And this woman comes in, and then she comes up to the counter, and she's like, oh, it's under new ownership. And I say, yeah, I bought this store 2 months ago. I try to slide in quick that I'm the owner, right? And she's like, oh, yeah, I bought this store 2 months ago. And she starts shaking her head and tisking. And I said, is something wrong? And she's like, I come to this plaza all the time, and I have never set foot in here. I went, okay. And she's like, there was a cloud. And I went, oh. And she's like, you don't believe me. And I go, well, I don't really have any context. I'm not actually sure what we're talking about right now. And she was like, there was a cloud over this place. And I said, oh, like something hiding it from your gaze? And she's like, demonic. There's a demonic cloud. And I said, are you saying that? And she goes, the ownership, demonic. And I said, are you saying the previous owners were demonic or the current owners are demonic? She goes, the previous owners. You don't believe me. And I said, I absolutely believe in powers, principalities, demonic oppression. I will not agree with you that the previous owners were demonic. And she starts going in on this point. And now, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, or you've been in the church for any length of time, you will know that there are people who are just like, they're just weird. They're just weird, right? No matter how weird you are, someone else is weirder. I guarantee it. Or they're weird in a different direction, right? So, and I've been in the church for a while, and so I've heard a lot of weird stuff. And normally I just let it roll, right? I'm not going to get into it, right? And because I now own a Christian bookstore, I get that weirdness a little bit more often. Right? Okay. And so most times I let it roll. This was not weird. Okay. This was demonic. And so someone wants to fight with me about the Sabbath. Someone came in one day and was like, are you saved? I was like, yes. How do you know? I'm like, Are you asking for my testimony? No. How do you know you're saved? And the other employee, as I've instructed them to do, that when things get weird, she noped out of there and left me to hang with it. Right? Okay. I've told them, just let me. You're fine. Just bounce. She's like, oh, I got to go. Stuck. I was like, thank you. Right? So I had to like do the whole ABCs of salvation with this woman. Okay. But this woman wasn't doing that. She wanted to insist that the previous owners of the store were demonic. And she wanted me to agree. She wanted me to verbally agree with her that what she was saying was right. And so she got loud and I got firm. I said, I will not speak a curse over the previous owners. I will not agree with you that they are demonic. And her face distorted and she went, I am a prophet of the Lord. And then she started in on me, right? But before she started in on me, she started in on me. And then she said, is there a manager or something I can speak to? And I said, ma'am, I'm the owner. There is no one else you get to talk to in this space. And then she dug in, tried to say I had all these issues, all this stuff, all these things. And I was like, ma'am, you need to leave. Ma'am, you need to leave. Ma'am, you need to leave. And then I said, and then one of my employees tried to come in and defend me, and I wasn't going to let anyone else get cursed. And I went, I pushed her back, and I said, call the police. And I said, ma'am, leave now. I am calling the police. You don't agree with demons. And when you feel an urging in your spirit that is telling you, oh, this is the path forward, because Satan masquerades as an angel of light. He can be real seductive, real beguiling. And there's plenty of times when someone gets weird in the store that I agree to move them on. But there's a difference between going low in a fight about the Sabbath, okay, and agreeing that someone is demonic. Those are two different things. And so anytime someone says something, oh, I think you're supposed to do this, and it's against the word of the Lord, you get to stand against that. That's not, we don't go low in that. And if you know me, I'm not a yeller. I'm not Zoe was in the store. You know, I didn't make eye contact with her. I was not trying to draw anybody else's attention from this woman. And so after she left, I called Zoe over because she started swearing. It was a whole mess in the store. And so I called Zoe over and I said, how much of that did you hear? And she was like, not really anything. I was thinking about lunch. I got up and I was going to come over and find out if you wanted me to get you something. And so she said, she stood up and she started to come towards me and she heard me go, ma'am. And she turned around and left. And so I'm thankful that what triggered my daughter was me being firmly polite, right? Like that was her trigger that something was going down, right? Not me screaming, not me doing anything else, but a firm ma'am. And she was like, oh, I need to bounce. Okay. So the first thing is Jesus, 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 and more Jesus. Jesus speaks to us. Okay. If we are on what he says, no one gets to shake you. So in this situation with the store, in other situations of our life, other people, well-intentioned people will say things like, are you sure? Or, there's been a long delay. Maybe it's not God. And the only thing that keeps me on the path then is Jesus, 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 and more Jesus. Not to say that I don't listen to wise counsel. There are people in my life who, if they had said, I don't think this is right, I would have taken that super seriously. Right? There are people in my life who get to say no. And I don't ignore it. that doesn't mean that everybody in my life gets to say no. Jesus, 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 and more Jesus. There's that passage in Matthew. I'm actually going to read it because I haven't read. Well, I did read Bible, but I didn't read Bible about this. In Matthew 7, right? Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. And I'm not trying to take that out of context, right? That's talking about the word of God and us building our lives on the word of God. And the word, the personal word of God to you is an anchor in times of turmoil. Right? So that verse, absolutely talking about the big picture word of God and us building our life according to those principles. And you get to apply it in a micro way where the personal word of God, what he has said to you, gets to be the anchor for your soul. Okay? Because following God is never easy. If someone told you that, they lied, and I'm sorry to tell you. Okay? It is not easy. Because you walk on whatever path the Lord tells you to do. The big picture, following the principles of God in this day and age, and the small, the Lord's called me to do ABC. Right? It's not easy because you have to navigate your own soul, right? Your mind, your emotions, your choices, right? Excuse me. Easy one. God tells you to fast, right? Okay, I'm supposed to fast this day. Let's say not even a long one, right? Like maybe you're just supposed to fast breakfast and lunch and you get to eat dinner. Don't you wake up that day and you are starving? Most days you can skip breakfast and it is not a problem. But on the day the Lord told you to sacrifice breakfast and lunch, your stomach feels like it's eating itself, right? You go to work and the person who never brings anything in has brought in like fresh donuts, right? Or fresh bagels, and they've got the good cream cheese, not the cheap one, right? And they're like, oh, it's in the break room for you. Or today's the day that your job that's normally really stingy springs for a really good lunch on the day you're supposed to be fasting, right? How many of you guys have ever had anything even close to that happen? Okay, so you know that the Lord told you, right? And you have to navigate your own heart. Well, Tuesday's as good as Monday, right? Well, I mean, the Lord wouldn't have moved on their heart to bring in the muffins if I wasn't supposed to have one. Right? You start justifying it to yourself. You've got temptations from outside and from inside. So even in the little things, I'm not saying something wild when I say following the Lord is not easy. I'm just talking, look at your life. Isn't that true? Right? Okay? But when you know from the Lord that he told you to do that thing, now you can endure. Because you're like, oh no, God told me to fast. No, he told me to do this. Of course there's going to be trials. No, he told me. I'm going to cling to this because he told me to do this for this reason or for that reason, or because I've been praying to get closer to him and this is what he told me was the path forward, or because I wanted to lay this down, or because I'm fasting for this answer. And so you cling to the word of the Lord for you because you're like, I didn't make this up. I didn't just choose this. God called me to this. And you cling to it, and it's what gives you the endurance to go through. So when God says jump, the first thing is Jesus, 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 and more Jesus. Did God say it? And when you have confidence that he said it, you cling to it. Because there's no way to endure without the Lord, right? Okay, you is understand his timing. I hate that one. I'm going to be real honest. Because my timing and God's timing never match. Ever. Either I think it should be slower and he says, let's go, or I think it should be faster and he's like, hold your horses. I cannot think of a single time in my life where I was without prayer in step with the Lord. In my natural mind, I have always been out of step with God, and it takes me laying down my idea of what's supposed to happen when and submitting to his will for me to get in step. So if that's you, if you feel like you're always out of step, know that that's not just your story. Like, and I can be hyperbolic, I can exaggerate and everything, but this is not an exaggeration. I have never in my natural mind been in step with the Lord. Ever. It has always been a sacrifice of my will to get on the same page as God and his timing, to get on his clock, has always been a sacrifice. Whether it's faster than I want to go or whether it's slower than I want to go, it is always a sacrifice for me to get on the same page as him. And so if that's you, you are in good company. So when God says jump, I have to lay it down. I have to lay down my idea, right? I have to lay down what I think. I have to lay down when I think it's going to happen, how I think it's going to happen, what I think is going to happen. I have to lay it all down before the Lord. And I say, you have your way. Last year, any door you'll open, you'll walk through. I'll walk through, God. And I heard door open and I walked through and I went, okay, God, even if you shut the next one, I did what I was supposed to do. And there was plenty of times that year where I walked through one or two doors in other situations and then he shut the third one. And I went, okay. Okay. And then there was this situation where door after door after door creaked open. And some doors took longer to open. And we were just like, okay, well, if the door opens, we'll go through. And if the door doesn't open, Lord, it's have your way. And then the door would open and we'd walk through. It's the Lord's timing, not yours. There's a verse that I love in Psalm 18. Because it is wild to me. Like this verse just, every time I read it, it is so ridiculous to me. And it is such a comfort. So it's Psalm 18:10. And so if you look at the intro to this psalm, it's a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. So this is right after Saul dies. This is the psalm that David sings and David writes. And he's talking about how much he loves the Lord and how the Lord has delivered him from all his enemies. And then in verse 10, David says, he, meaning God, rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. And some translations talk about he swiftly flew. He swiftly came to my aid. David's writing this psalm after Saul dies. Okay? David gets anointed to be the next king when he's a young man. Then he serves Saul. He marries Saul's daughter. He serves him for a while, then he gets run out of the kingdom, and he's running around for years with Saul in pursuit of him, asking for the Lord to please deliver him. For years, okay? For years, there is a delay on this promise. And then Saul dies, and David has the audacity to say, "You swiftly delivered me, God. Swiftly delivered me." And I realized that David had an unshakable knowledge that when the moment was right, God acted immediately. And that the delay wasn't God delaying. The delay was that everything wasn't right yet. But at the moment it was right, God didn't selfishly delay. God didn't just, oh, I'm just going to make him hang on the hook for a little bit longer. Oh, let me see if he really loves me, right? God is wiser than us. He was making everything work, okay? And then, boom, he delivered him. And I realized the number of times in my life where I have secretly, privately believed that God was just delaying because he felt like it, that there wasn't really any purpose to the waiting, that he was just twiddling his thumbs, right? I have to repent of it every time. I'm kind of like, what was the point, God? Right? There's always a point. There is, I'm going to tell this story super quick. Bob Sorge, when we were living in Kansas City, he was going to be teaching a class. And his house had had a fire a few days before, or maybe a week before, and him and his wife were staying at a hotel. And the hotel, you normally go down one boulevard to get to where the class was. But there was this massive traffic jam on it, and so he cut over to come at it from the other side. And the street he had to cut down was the street where his house was. And they had been told that the work couldn't start on the house until the insurance adjuster came. And if the work started on the house before the insurance adjuster came and appraised or did whatever they do, then they wouldn't, it wouldn't get covered. And so he drives past his house and he sees workmen outside of his house. And he knows the insurance adjuster has not come. And so he gets out of the car. If you know Bob Sorge, he had a vocal surgery and his vocal cords are damaged. Still praying for healing from the Lord. And so he only talks in a whisper. And so he's talking to these workers who don't speak English. And he's talking in a whisper. And so it's a very dramatic kind of set of circumstances, but he gets them to stop. Okay. And so he gets them to stop. He gets his wife to call the insurance. He gets everything sorted. And then he comes to teach the class. And he goes, if you were stuck in that traffic jam on the boulevard today, I'm sorry, but that was for me. And it just underlines that the delays that we face are always for a purpose and they're always for the glory of God. They are always for a purpose and they are always for the glory of God. And when he moves things fast, it's always for a purpose and it's always for his glory. His timing always has a purpose and always is for his glory. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And just because we can't figure it out doesn't mean there's not a reason. I look forward to heaven when I can be like, okay, God, so this time, tell me what this was all about. And he's going to go, okay. And it's going to be like a chessboard in front of me. And he's like, okay, so this person had to move over here and this person had to move over here. And I was working healing in this person. So they had to do this and then they had to do this. And then once everything worked out, boom, that's when I answered your prayer. Right. And I'm just going to be like blown away. So the you in jump is understand his timing. And frequently it's going to mean you repenting and laying down your own timing. The M is move in obedience. Move in obedience. And move doesn't always mean that you get to move forward. Sometimes it means that you have to be still. I don't love that one. There's a number of situations in our life right now where God is very clearly telling Ron and I to be still. And it makes us look like a fool to the people around us. Because God is saying, don't. And everyone's like, why aren't you? Why aren't you? Why aren't you? And we're like, we're not supposed to yet. And they're like, how can you be not supposed to? Don't you see what's going on? And God is clearly going, be still. And so to act on what people want us to do would put us in rebellion to the Lord. And if I'm going to disappoint you or I'm going to disappoint Jesus, I'm sorry, but I'm disappointing you. And then sometimes God tells you to go and you're like, I'm not ready to go yet, God. And he's like, pick up your stuff and go. Go. Go, go, go. Passover. The Israelites eating the bread, standing up because they were going to leave. Right? God does it over and over and over in scripture. And that a lot of times you have a moment to do what he's calling you to do. And your obedience matters. The Israelites in the desert, God says, go in. And they're like, ooh, but there's giants in the land. And God's like, go in. And then they don't go in. And then God's like, okay, you're wandering. And then they're like, oh, we'll go in now. And God's like, you missed it. And they're like, no, we'll go in now, God. We'll do it now. We'll do it now. And so then they try to go in and a bunch of them die. And then the path doesn't come back around again for 40 more years. Right? I don't like that idea. That if God tells me to go and I don't go, that I might not get another opportunity. And then if God tells me to wait and I don't wait, that I might cause real damage, not just to me, but to the people around me. You move in obedience with the Lord, which requires you being sensitive to his voice. James 2. Let me scroll. And so I love this passage because it applies in so many ways. James 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And so that's a really confronting verse, right? Because if I say yes to the Lord, in my case, if I say, I'll go through whatever door you open for me, God, and then I hear that creak of the door opening and I don't send the email, or I don't show up and have the appointment, or I don't do the next thing, with my works, with my actions, I am saying I do not trust God. I am saying I lied when I said yes to you, God. I lied when I said I would walk through whatever door you opened. Because if I don't match what I do to the words that are coming out of my mouth, the words that are coming out of my mouth are invalid. So you say yes to God, and then God goes, drive by Wegmans on the way home. Oh, give that money to the homeless person on the corner. Pray for the person in the water aerobics class, right? It's not yours necessarily to understand what he's asking you to do or why he's asking you to do it. It's yours to do what he asks you to do. Our youth pastor growing it up called it putting legs on your lips. Did you walk your talk? Did you have legs on your lips? Was what you said just words, or did it match? You move in obedience to the Lord. And sometimes that looks like forward motion, and sometimes it looks like stopping and waiting, but always looks like listening to God and doing whatever he says, regardless of if you think it moves forward or not. In that whole chunk of time, when we were trying to figure out how the finances were going to come through, I had heard from the Lord that we needed to pursue unconventional financing. And Ron and I talked about a couple ways that might look, and then we didn't do any of them. And everything stalled. And finally I went, I only have one word from the Lord, and we're supposed to do this. And we did it. And I thought that this conversation with the people who I thought was going to have the conversation for, I thought it was going to open everything, that they were going to like give the funding and they were going to do the thing. They didn't. They didn't. But then we got another word from the Lord about what we were supposed to do. And then we did that thing. And then we did the next thing. And then we did the next thing. But until I did the first thing, God stopped talking to us about money. We were knocking on all the doors, and he was just waiting for us to do the thing that he had told me to do. You move in obedience. And he was gracious. That time he waited for me. There's been other times he hasn't. And then P, have patience in the process. Because God's goal is always to work the fruit of the Spirit in us, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And he could care less about the stuff if you don't have the Spirit. And so when he calls you to jump, he's calling you to do the thing, whatever the thing is, whatever he's calling you to do. And he's intending it to work good in your own life. And so you have to know that his goal is to work patience. And I'm focusing on those because that's the one a lot of times we don't like, right? That his goal is to work patience and endurance in your heart. So why are you surprised when it took longer than expected? If he's trying to work patience in you, Why are you surprised that you had to keep knocking? Because he's trying to work patience in you. Why are you surprised that it felt like you had to wait and wait and wait for the answer? Because he's trying to work patience in you. Why, like, when Shanti's trying the door, why is it like, oh, I had to try it a second time? He could have unlocked the door the first time. Because he was working something in her and he's working something in you. And if you don't realize that that's what it is, you get resentful and you get bitter. Patience in the process. Patience in the process. So when God's calling you into a season of transition, and I say accelerated transition because that's what I feel like is in front of all of us. When he's telling you to jump, okay, first, Jesus, 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 and more Jesus. I realize it doesn't match any of the other ones with like a verb or anything, but it doesn't matter because Jesus is in all. In him we move and we live and we have our being. He's got all the verbs. So Jesus, 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 and more Jesus. The you, understand his timing. Move in obedience and have patience in the process. And so, Lord, I thank you for the season that's in front of each one of us. I thank you for the way you are calling us to move forward, to go when you say go, to stop when you say stop. I thank you for the doors that are opening before us even now. I thank you for the freedom that you're granting each one of us. I thank you that you are the fourth man with us in the fire. God, I thank you for everything that you are doing, for everything that you are, God. I thank you that tonight we committed to say yes to you for you to have your way, God. And so, Lord, empower us to have legs on our lips. Empower us to move in the way that you tell us to move. Reveal your voice to us that we'll have Jesus, 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 and more Jesus. Help us to see your timing and to repent when our timing doesn't match with yours, to lay it down, to surrender, and to take on your clock and your timing, whatever that looks like. God, empower us to move in obedience. Every time you tell us what to do and we hear your voice, give us the power to do it. Strengthen our hearts to do what you say to do, Lord, that our actions and our words would match every single time. Empower our hearts to do it, Lord, and give us endurance, give us patience as you work your ways and